Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening since we took the last break, you may continue to listen, I guess I should say, since we took the last break, we appreciate that very much. And you're going to be excited that you hung around because we got some very important stuff to tell you about. Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, is Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank, a significant bank across the Northeast, the Midwest, I should say. And Richard has been a member of our Brain Trust for years. We liked him from the beginning before he was a nationally recognized economist. And, of course, I'm sure being on our show contributed significantly to his continued success. But there is one thing that has happened recently that I want to talk to him about. Let's get him in here. Richard, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here, Jim, and you should know that I get all my best ideas from you.
That doesn't surprise me at all, Richard. And thank you for that, by the way. But seriously, folks, you heard me say before, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. And once again, we prove what I've been saying. Richard, you were recently recognized as the number one economist by USA Today, the number one economist out of 41 who regularly contribute to report, I should say, your findings on the economy. 41 economists across the country, you were recognized as the number one economist. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It was, however, just for 1 year, 2006, and I'll of course strive to repeat, but they haven't yet crowned a economist of all times.
Well, I'm afraid that gentleman passed away probably a few months ago. And as much as we love you, I think Milton has maybe by the time you get in your 70s and 80s, maybe so. But Mr. Friedman would be hard to beat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So anyway, but let's get back to Among the Living, and and so congratulations, the USA Today number one economist on the planet. That's my spin on it, Richard. And so I'm not the least bit surprised. When I saw this, I wasn't the least bit surprised. I mean, like I said earlier, we don't have any chopped liver around here. Only the best for my audience. So let me ask you, how did they let you know about this?
Well, I got a call. It went out in the paper on a Tuesday. They called me on a Friday afternoon, which was good because it made my weekend.
Yeah.
And, what they do is they actually gather forecasts from 40-plus people, and they don't do the analysis themselves. They farm it out to a bunch of economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta who've developed a forecast accuracy evaluation system. And then they simply report it back to USA Today. USA Today then runs a brief piece in the paper, and it's really a way to, recognize the contributors who they report on a quarterly basis as part of their ongoing coverage of the economy.
Well, you've been bumping up near the top for a number of years. I know you've been at least as high as third previously.
Yeah, I was third and I was fourth. They've only done it for 4 years. 1 year I was downright middle of the pack, but I was in the top tier 3 of the 4 years.
That must have been like the first year you started coming on this show.
No, actually, it was the year 2005.
What?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's right. Your influence can only have improved things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what about the now, did you get a statue like an Oscar or anything like that?
No, but if I do get 50 cents, a cup of coffee will shortly be forthcoming.
Well, how about the groupies? Have you seen the groupies yet? Have they shown up yet?
It's funny. My occupation doesn't seem to draw those.
Well, congratulations. What do you think was the significant thing that you uncovered, that you revealed, that you predicted or forecast? What was the significant thing that you think that helped you to be so accurate in 06?
Well, there were really two things, I think. Number one was the housing market. National City Corporation is a major mortgage lender.
Right.
And we poured a lot of effort into trying to understand this market over the past several years. And I think we had a very good handle on what was going on there in 2006, and that helped a lot. And then we also did well on understanding inflation and expecting it to be a little bit more stubborn than others generally viewed, and how that would influence interest rates and the like. So housing and inflation both were the areas where I think we outperformed.
Well, you know, another area, you were telling us 2 years ago what a significant amount of the increase in petroleum costs, where that was coming from. Before I heard anybody else talking about it, you were talking about the influence the speculators were having on the price of oil. I mean, I remember a number of things that you were telling us before I heard it anywhere else. Stand by, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Richard DeCaso, the number one economist on the planet, maybe in the universe. Right back. 22. Stay with us. Late, great Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and we're visiting with the number one economist in the nation, probably on the planet, maybe even in the galaxy. His name is Richard DeCaso. He's Senior Vice President, Chief Economist for National City Bank. And Richard, we're talking about the real estate issue.
Yep.
Is that, and of course you can't talk about real estate without talking about the subprime meltdown, which we have covered on the show already. So is my audience is, you know, we're kind of hip on what's going on there. Did you see in 06 during the time when you won this award, did you see the meltdown coming?
Yeah, actually we saw it in 2005. We were one of the major subprime lenders in the country, usually somewhere in the 7, 8, or 9 ranking in terms of total mortgages originated. And back around 2005, I was talking to the people who ran that company, you know, having the usual conversation about how's business going, and they were just very distressed about the irrationality of the competition, the way underwriting standards had been compromised, the way pricing had been compromised. So we thought we understood the market and the risks involved pretty well, and if other people were willing to undercut us, we simply let them go. But
so what you're saying is there's subprime, and then there's subprime.
Well, that's right. That's right.
You were doing subprime, meaning you were balancing the risks and not taking whatever would come in. You were dipping below the line a little bit just to find the opportunity, but you weren't letting everybody in.
That's right. That's right. And there were, you know, things in many cases, there was just a lot of sloppiness. I mean, it meant a lot of businesses were simply not being careful with their documentation, confirming and verifying all kinds of reported results. So
right.
this isn't catching us by surprise. It's not at all clear how it's going to end up. I think I have a good handle on it. But
did you ever, Richard, while all that was going on in 05, yep, for example, did you ever look back and say, you know, this looks a lot like the dot-bomb era?
Well, yeah, actually, my analogy was, you know, closer to home. If you go back about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago in the banking business, there were subprime credit card lenders. And if you remember, in the early 90s, we had all of these woes where people were defaulting on their credit card debt. And the same exact dynamic was at play. A few really smart companies figured out how to do this because they understood the risks involved and they
right.
did it well. Sure enough, after doing it for a couple of years, though, everyone and their brother flocked into the business. They didn't do it well. They drove down pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, over time, there's a shakeout. Now, we're going through that shakeout now in subprime, just as we did in credit cards 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think,
and just,
you know,
as we did with the dot-coms.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference between understanding how to do something that's terribly sophisticated and complex and then just going in and doing it because it seems like it's the rage.
I love quoting the title of Charles McKay's book from 1848. Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Yep, yep.
It's a great book. It's a great title. I love those words, and it defines so much about what happens in the marketplace sometimes these days, doesn't it?
Well, it's said that there's two sentiments hard-coded into the human gene, which is fear and greed.
Right.
And they tend to run alternately, and we've been through these greed cycles, and we will, to, you know,
now, I am,
again for sure.
I am not only am I not a leading economist, I'm not an economist at all, but in my opinion...
But you play one on the radio.
I do, and I slipped in the Holiday Inn Express last night. But I don't see, when I look at, and I read about these things, I don't see the mayhem and the meltdown from this subprime thing that some of the talking heads in the financial shows seem to do. It seems to me that they're trying to fill 24 hours of time, and I don't see it, Richard. What am I wrong?
No, I think you're right, and we've gone from greed back into the fear cycle now, and I think that's what you're talking about. In my view, this is largely a contained experience that reflects the idiosyncratic nature of the subprime business. In other words, it's not like the Asian financial crisis where there were lots of shared flaws that were spread across the board,
right.
And hence when things turned for the worse, everyone went down the tubes in the same direction. This is a very particular market. It is nothing like the subprime auto loan market, subprime credit card market, to say nothing of, you know, junk bonds, junk corporate bonds, or, you know, all of those products have been around for a long time. They've been well tested. They're well understood. And I think the risk of some kind of a financial market contagion is very, very low.
But if you were listening to the talking heads, you would start girding your loins. And it's caused some people, in my opinion, who I think should know better, to actually forecast a recession impact.
Yeah. I mean,
and I think that's not only is it inaccurate. I think it's ill-advised and frankly just inappropriate.
I agree. And you know what's interesting is we started ringing the bell about the housing market again going back 2 years ago. We thought overvaluation was fairly widespread, not everywhere, but in enough places to raise concerns. And there tends to be a lag between what's happening in the housing market and what's happening in terms of people's performance, their ability to pay loans and the like, and that's about a 1 to 2 year lag. So what we're seeing now is reaping what was sown 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look under the surface, under all of this agitation about loan losses into the housing market, you can actually discern the turn for the better. That's, again, probably 1 to 2 years out.
When we come back, I'm going to get Richard to tell us what he thinks about the rest of the year. You know, he was pretty darn accurate last year. We'll see how he's doing in 2007. We'll do that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate is 10 till the hour. Richard DeKayser is our guest. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and visiting with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank, the number one economist in the United States in 2006, selected by the USA Today newspaper, which has some folks like the Federal Reserve Board looked through the credentials and the prognostications of about 41 economists and chose Richard to be the most accurate and the most and the number one economist. And Richard, again, on behalf of my audience, which has invested a lot of time in listening to you and believing your forecasts over the last several years that you've been a member of our Brain Trust, again, on behalf of me and all those folks, we say congratulations.
And thank you very much, Jim. I do appreciate it.
One of the things that I keep, and again, back to my amateur status here, I'm thinking, okay, we got full employment, we got 2 million jobs that we can't fill, we got the real estate as an underlying asset. This, you know, the subprime part of the mortgage industry, someone told me is like 1% or less than 1% of the overall industry. You know, it can't get that bad. So let's just say, okay, it's a situation. We're going to have to deal with it. Let's move on. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Tell us, and apparently you agree with that, tell us what you think the economy is going to do for the rest of the year.
You're right, Jim. I do agree with that. And I'm going to give you my response mostly by talking about the housing market, because I still think it's the 800-pound gorilla. And as I said earlier, I think that here's where we can already see the signs of improvement that are beginning to take place. And the reason I think, first of all, we have to focus on housing is it subtracted a full percentage point from GDP last year. We've been looking at GDP growth, you know, just slightly around 2.5%.
Subtracted a half point, did you say?
Full point.
A full point.
Full percentage point, right,
wow.
Especially in the second half of last year. So it's reasonable to focus on that. It's only 5% of GDP, but it's been falling so precipitously that it's been really exerting a big drag. However, if we look at what's going on in this important sector of the economy right now, we see the following things. Number one, demand is stabilized. Home sales, if you add new and existing home sales together, it looks like they hit their low point last September and have been flat to up slightly ever since. That's the good news. Number two, this huge overhang of unsold properties has begun to come down, and that's because builders have moved away, as they usually do with a lag, from the market.
Mm-hmm.
So this oppressive overhang of unsold properties, which is inhibiting construction and weighing on prices,
right,
is already beginning to let up. And we can see that if you fast forward 6 or 8 months, that's going to improve dramatically. So I think by the time we're in the second half of this year, the whole drag from the housing market will be close to gone, not entirely, but it will actually diminish steadily as 2007 plays out. Now, I don't think the economy is going to boom. As I said, we've been looking at about a 2.5% GDP growth environment. If we were to see this housing receipt problem recede, as I think it will, we'll see the economy come back into the 3-3.5% territory, which ain't gangbusters, but it's certainly decent.
And pretty darn healthy.
Yeah, with an economy already operating at, as you say, close to capacity, low unemployment and the like, is quite healthy overall.
Well, as you may remember, my prediction for 07 in terms of GDP, I predicted 3%.
I think it's going to be real close. I'll give you my number. It's going to be 2.7, but hey, that's close enough for rounding, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that, you know, nobody else that I read or heard from said it was going to be 3%. But see, I'm like the eternal optimist. You know, I'm always seeing the glass the other way. And you guys have got a lot more information than I do. But I do believe in the marketplace. I believe in the resiliency of the U.S. economy, of small businesses to do Herculean things. And I'm not a Pollyanna about these things. I mean, I'm not wishing this or playing the glad game. But I just believe that the entrepreneurial spirit and the strength of will of over half of the U.S. economy, which is small business, is at least worth an extra 0.3%.
Okay,
that's my story.
I share your basic premise, and I think we're seeing those kinds of market mechanisms that do work so well in America working right now to fix the problems that have emerged in the mortgage market.
What do you think the Fed is going to do the rest of the year with rates?
Nothing. I think they'll stand pat, you know, because we do have such a well-balanced economy. There is a risk of weaker growth, but I think that risk is precisely balanced with the risk of inflation staying unacceptably high. And
so for small business owners right now, you would basically say whatever you're seeing now is pretty close to what you're going to see the rest of the year.
I would not wait for interest rates to change.
But also on the economy, what you're seeing now is kind of what you're going to get.
Yeah, and it's going to vary by sector, on the whole, yes. I think what you see is what you get.
Thank you, Richard, for being here. Congratulations again on this outstanding award.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
See you next time. Thank you very much. Richard
DeKayser,
ladies and gentlemen, with National City Bank. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.